tell me now, Clondalkin Mills, some of your mother's sisters worked in the mills. It was your grandfather, was the timekeeper in the mill.
James Whitty was the timekeeper in the mill.
Any idea what that entailed at the time?
No. I don't know. I never met the man. But I know that, and Tommy would probably be able to give you more details than that, that the staff would have to clock in and clock out. Mm-hmm. And I think it was his job to make sure that, you know, nobody was clocking anybody else's card and there was no shenanigans going on that shouldn't be. More than that, I don't know. I was born in 1952. He died about a year later, in 1953, so I never met him.
Okay, and your mother's first name was?
My mother's first name was Dimpna, and her maiden name was Whitty.
Yes, and so she did work in the mill.
Oh, she did. She worked in the mill before I arrived on the scene. Exactly when, I don't know, but I think when I was born, she gave up work, as most women did, to stay home to raise the children, or the child. In my case, that was the only
one. Did she ever tell you what she was doing?
I think she was doing secretarial work. I think she was working as secretary to the company secretary. I think that was a role that was fulfilled in later years in my time by Evie Archibald, who was a lifelong friend of hers. Again, somebody who lived in the village for years and years. On the Tower Road.
His mother made a comeback then later on and worked half day basis.
I joined the mills in November, the end of October, I think it was, or early November 1970. I'd done my leaving cert in 1970 and I worked in town in a temporary job, and then word of this permanent position in the purchasing office of the mills came up, working under John Campion, who was the purchasing manager there at the time. And I was in working for him from October, say, 1970, until about April 1977, if my memory serves me with the dates. Yeah, I think that's right. Other people in the office would have been Ollie Gleeson, from the Boot Road, and John Sheehan, then later on, would have joined up. The two guys who were in the office with me were Liam Leonard, who lived in Laurel Park, and a guy called Jerry McDonald, who lived down in Walkinstown, Drimna area, somewhere. And we would have been part of the purchasing team, sourcing materials, raw materials for the papermaking process. Machinery spares would have been a huge part of the job, because there was a huge amount of very specialised machinery, and the stores department would have worked very closely with the purchasing department, and people in the stores would have been Joe Donaghy, who was the stores manager at the time, Kevin Keogh, Tommy's brother, worked there, and I'm still a great friend of Kevin's, and Joe Howlett, Miley Smith, again another local man, Dan McCabe, one of the store men, Paul Murphy worked there, and Sean Lynham, and our job would be that when the three of us in our particular office were order progressors, in other words ringing up suppliers to make sure that stuff was delivered on time. And Jerry and Liam would be looking after the local suppliers, and I would be looking after the overseas suppliers, because you'd be importing spare parts for the paper make machines from Italy, France, all over the world, really. And there was a lot involved then in getting customs clearance and documentation and so on and so forth. So it was a very busy job and a very interesting job.
I'd say in the 70s, the currency difference too.
Oh yeah, I mean, you were buying in all sorts of currencies, US dollars, German marks, Italian lira, French francs, sterling. Of course, the UK was a very big supplier of it, because a lot of the machinery in the mills would have been originally engineered in the UK or in England, because the paper making was a very big part of the English economy over there as well. We used to have a huge amount of chemicals to be brought in, like English China clay, for filling the paper, titanium dioxide, various other stuff like that. But it was a huge industry, as I'm sure Tommy will have told you. And I think nearly everybody in Clondalkin has had at least one family member working in the mills at some time. The other big employer in the mills was Clondalkin Concrete, which later I think became Roadstone.
Okay, I think there was a tile.
There was another place called Weatherwell over there near the railway station, quite near to where Clondalkin Concrete's plant was.
The tile factory. Who owned the tile factory?
I don't know who owned the tile factory. Was it the
Aegon
O'Rahilly? I don't know anything about that. I do know that as young fellas, in the summertime, we used to go over to watch the trains and record the locomotive numbers, train spotters.
Yes.
And I always remember looking at the roof of the tile factory, and there was about 2 foot of red dust on the roof from the tile making process. So I'm sure if health and safety saw today that we're having conniptions.
And it's extraordinary, but those two factories were exporting to England. They were Clondalkin Mills exporting the paper and the tile factory after the war. Of course, everybody needed tiles after the war, exporting the tiles.
Well, at one stage in the mills, we were actually exporting wood pulp to Scandinavia, which was unheard of. Because at that time...
That was like selling sand.
It was, it was. We had a plant that was commissioned in the early 70s, 73, 74, called the Bauer plant, B-A-U-E-R plant, which was an American process. And it was producing extremely high quality wood pulp, which was then being exported over to the Scandinavians because they couldn't match the quality of it. Then I think the oil crisis hit in 73 or thereabouts. Mm. And because this yoke was an alcoholic when it came to oil and fuel, it just became uneconomic to operate. Yes. And I think ultimately the plant was dismantled and shipped back to them. Mm. That's my memory. I stand to be corrected on that.